Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another show of At Home with Victoria, with your host, Victoria Gaither, and co-host, Michael Kay.
Good evening, everybody. It's 8 p.m. on a very soggy East Coast. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of At Home with Victoria. I am Michael Kay, your entertainment co-host for tonight. The lovely news lady is actually away tonight, so it's just going to be me and our array of stunning guests. Joining us tonight is PJ Bellamo, the CEO of PropertyRoom.com. He's here. I tell you, I've been scouting the website for most of the day. Some of the deals on this site are pretty fantastic, so I am super thrilled to go ahead and have him here. And then we're going to be talking to a good friend of mine and a woman I'm very happy to call friend, award-winning actress Dee Freeman is joining us from prettytheseries.com. And we'll be listening to the music of Mr. Joshua Stedman all night long. So we're going to start with a little bit of Joshua Stedman. You can find him actually at joshuastedman.com and on Reverb Nation and on Twitter and on Facebook. So with that, Joshua Stedman with The Craving. When we get back, PJ Bellamo is in the house.
On my tongue, torn red couches never once have seen the sun. Stale perfume tags on the bathroom stalls. 30 years of history line the backstage halls. Call tonight, last minute opening. Friend asked me if I've got any songs to sing. Six train down to CB's with a broken string and my heart sliding down my sleeve. Halo, candles do a dance between silhouettes and shadows. Old guitar in hand, lonely microphone stand. Crowds a little loud, waiting on the headline band. Then the faces turn and the eyes burn to make my soul ignite in the midnight. Supernova on the cusp, floating into stardust, letting go as I become my dream.
Inside, there's a hidden sun.
Joshua Stedman with The Craving. You can go ahead and find him at joshuastedman.com. And like I said, on Reverb Nation, on YouTube, on Twitter, and he's everywhere. So go ahead and actually check him out on Facebook at facebook.com/Joshua Stedman. So I was telling you earlier, I've been cruising this website today called propertyroom.com, and PJ Bellamo is the CEO and is calling in actually right now. So I think I'm just going to go to a little bit more music and give him a couple more seconds to go ahead and call in. So more with Joshua Stedman with Fool I've Been.
Ask me to
Joshua Steppen with Fool I've Been. Let's check and see if this is actually PJ. Let's go to him and double check. Hi, is this PJ Bellamo?
Good evening.
PJ, how are you? I'm so sorry. I saw you in the queue, then the call dropped, and I saw you in queue, and the call dropped. We're having wicked weather here in Delaware, so I appreciate your patience.
No problem.
How are you, my friend? Where are you calling in from tonight?
I'm calling in from Frederick, Maryland.
Oh, really? You're just up the road from me.
We're neighbors.
Absolutely, buddy. Propertyroom.com, have been trolling it all day. I'm telling you, buddy, some of the deals on there are absolutely crazy. Some items start at $1 and go up. I saw a 32-inch flat-screen television for $14.10. So tell us a little bit about Property Room and exactly its conceptions. It's been around since 1999, am I correct?
That's right. Founded by Tom Lane, former detective, Long Beach, New York Police Department, and he, you know, did a bunch of things in his career after leaving law enforcement and woke up in 1999 and said, you know what, that old-fashioned police auction has to go online.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's stunning. Now, this is actually seized merchandise, or what kind of merchandise is actually on here?
Yeah, so at propertyroom.com, we get everything under the sun. You know, we get coach purses and collectible coins. We get bulldozers and bullhorns. We get the craziest stuff. Jewelry, watches, coins are the biggest items. And all this stuff comes out of police departments. It's unclaimed goods. The police hold it onto it for a certain amount of time. And what they can't return ends up being public goods. Goes up for public auction.
Now, how does someone just not pick up their confiscated bulldozer? How does that work?
Yeah, well, listen, in the case of a bulldozer, that probably is either it's either city or county surplus, because we get those goods as well. What, you know, after doing police auctions for 10 years, the guys doing city surplus said, why are we holding auctions? Why aren't we doing the same thing the police department's doing and going to Property Room? So, but, you know, they also ends up, some of this stuff ends up being seized. And, you know, a lot of the goods, people just don't claim them. You know, it's National Bike Month, and we've been, you know, we do 30,000 bikes a year on propertyroom.com.
Wow.
And as it turns out, we've done surveys, and you know what? Less than 50% of the people who have bikes stolen even reported to the police in the first place. So it's no wonder that a lot of these goods go unclaimed.
Yeah, 30,000 is a lot of bikes. My God, I'm actually online right now looking at it. Everything from coins to jewelry, watches, bullion. How does bullion figure into it?
Well, what ends up happening is we get there's people who steal coin collections, and in coin collections there's gold. And
we recently
got a little story for you. A 1907 gold coin, $20 gold piece, and it came from a California Sheriff's Department. And it was funny because, you know, our guys go in, they do a pickup at the Property Room. And that's where our name comes from, by the way. All of these goods go to the Property and Evidence Room at a police department or sheriff's department, and they call it the Property Room, and so that's where our name comes from. And we show up at the Property Room, and the guy goes, "Listen, this is a $20 gold coin, but I don't want, you know, $20 for this thing. I want melt price on the gold bullion." And we've got a coin expert because we've been doing this for years. And our coin expert goes, "That's a 1907 St. Gaudens double eagle high relief. That's known as the most beautiful coin in the history of the U.S. Mint. That's not going to go for melt value. That's a $25,000 to $30,000 coin."
Jeez.
And we're like, "Yeah, right." You know, so, you know, some days you're doing iPods, some days you're doing $20,000 gold coin. And you said something about a $1 opening bid, and we asked our coin expert, "Well, what should we put as a reserve price on this? That's, you know, this is a rare coin." He goes, "Oh, no, we've got a lot of coin bidders at Property Room. Just put it up for a dollar." So we put it up for a dollar, and, you know, a week later, $27,000 to the high bidder. So that county sheriff got a little bit more than gold, the melt price on gold. So those are some of the oddball stories that happen at Property Room when you're running a coast-to-coast police auction website.
Now, that $23,000, where does that go? Whose pocket?
Yeah, so, you know, that's a great question. In 90% plus of the cases, the money goes to the general fund of the city or the county. And, you know, sheriffs and police chiefs around the country want, you know, citizens to know this is going back into the general fund. They're not going into the, you know, police budget or the sheriff's budget, you know, 90% of the time. And I know of one instance where it is, and we have a police department where the funds go to purchase safety equipment, and it's a beach town on Long Island, New York, and they took the money and bought some special life preservers. When people are 500 feet away from the shore, they can kind of shoot out like a harpoon, a life preserver. And they took the funds from the auction and bought a special life-saving device, and a year after the auction, saved somebody's life. So, you know, these funds are really going for the, you know, right cause. So people can go get a great deal at Property Room and, you know, feel good about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned the $23,000. There's also a Lucien Picard 14-karat gold watch for $1,100. Those things go for $8,000-$9,000. So, I mean, you're still getting a fraction. So if I'm to understand this correctly, many police agencies actually commit to propertyroom.com, and then that money is sent back to their division. Is that how that works?
Yeah, in fact, at propertyroom.com, we have a little saying. We haul away headaches and send back money. And that's our service to the police department. There's none of your listeners are sitting there saying, that's right, we need more police in my community, and you know what I want those police doing? I want them running a police auction. No, I guarantee you, not a single listener is saying that. They want those police out on the street. And the police have to put these goods up for public auction, so they engage with propertyroom.com so that we can do what we do best, and they can go back to protect and serve. And you got it absolutely right. We do the work for them. We, you know, we collect the money, we pay ourselves, and then we send back the rest of the money to them. And, you know, that frees those resources up to do exactly what they should do, and that's serve the local community.
Absolutely. So many people, or so many law enforcement clients you have, from Albuquerque, Atlanta, Baltimore, Boston, all the way to Olympia, New York, Olympia, Washington, New York PD, Sacramento, Tampa. So everybody's really on board with this. You started off very, very small with only a handful of municipal clients and stuff. Where are you at now in volume as to how many actually people are contributing to propertyroom.com?
We've engaged with over 2,500 public agencies coast to coast.
Wow.
Property Room does business in 48 of the 50 states, and including Hawaii. So four times a year, one of our dedicated employees takes a really tough trip and jumps on an airplane and flies to the Honolulu Police Department and knocks on the door and says, hey, propertyroom.com is here, and they do a pickup at the Honolulu PD, and then we fill up a shipping container, and we ship it across the Pacific back to our L.A. warehouse, and we even serve Honolulu. We're not in Alaska, and for some reason we have yet to serve West Virginia, but we're in all the other states in the U.S.
Mm. Yeah, well, I feel so sorry for that poor guy who has to travel all the way to Hawaii.
No one has asked me to do it yet.
Who's beating each other up for that position? That's fantastic, though. Actually, in 2011, propertyroom.com celebrated its 10th anniversary selling online and giving back to the community. PGA, I do think this is a fantastic – I would have never known about this if it weren't for Sherry Goldberg. So you have to take your hat off to her and thank her for me, because I'm certain our listeners are looking for – everybody's looking for a great big deal, and and propertyroom.com is where you can go ahead and find it. Are you a big news buff, PJ?
I get all of my news via podcast. Why do you ask?
Well, the Joey Arias trial was finished up today. I was wondering if you happened to go ahead and catch that verdict.
No, tell me.
Well, she was convicted of, you know, she did it, so of course they found out she did it. But I'm telling you, everybody has been following this trial with a fine-tooth comb. Some people, of course, the looky-loos, in my opinion, getting a little crazy following it and everything, but just a tragic case. Yeah, it was very interesting. Everybody was rejoicing outside the courtroom. It was a bit of a mob mentality, but very, very frightening case. I don't know. Do you end up following it at all or no?
I have not. Tell me more.
Oh, well, basically, crazy girlfriend goes to hide. Boyfriend breaks up with crazy girlfriend. I think wife, actually. And basically, she stabbed him like 27 times, cut his throat from right to left, and then chased him around. Took him about 3 minutes to die. It was just a tragic, tragic case. A little spooky. I can definitely see a made-for-television movie coming out of it.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And what was the verdict? I mean, not the verdict, what was the sentence?
Well, the sentencing is actually tomorrow, and this is in Texas, so they have the death penalty there, so they're wondering if the death penalty is going to be actually extended to her. So I guess tomorrow will be the final day when it gets really interesting, but very, very frightening, but quite a relief for the family, definitely, so, of the deceased. Crazy people, crazy world, PJ.
Yeah, it is, and, you know, it's funny, Property Room, .com sits on the, you know, if there's a softer side to law enforcement, you know, we come in and provide a service, and we rarely get the stories behind things. And by the way, listeners should know that we don't get any goods that are involved in murders, rapes, or anything like that. Those goods stay in Property Rooms. Nowadays, there's like 100 years because of DNA and things like that. There's laws that they keep those things forever. So the things that are on Property Room are credit card fraud, petty theft, lost and found, generally that type of stuff. So there's nothing sinister that anyone needs to worry about. These are public goods up for public auction with money going back. We've distributed over $50 million to communities around the United States. So as you're getting a great deal at Property Room, you don't have to worry about some, you know, ugly, dark story sitting behind it.
Right,
you know, and you're doing a great thing. You're getting a great deal, and you're sending money back to the local community.
Absolutely. Well, you're doing a great thing too by going ahead and offering this service to the public. I love the fact that it's actually going back into the community. I think it's very important that, again, everyone has to look out for themselves in these trying economic times. So you do quite a great service. Just out of curiosity, when something is seized and stuff, what's the average turnaround time that they're actually up on PropertyRoom.com?
Different municipalities
have different
time periods, but you got to figure like it's typically 60, 90 days, and that's after a case has been adjudicated. So I mean, it's going into the Property Room, it's going through an entire case, and they've got to settle all the legal stuff, and then after all of that's done, then there's a hold period after that, then it comes to Property Room. But from the time we pick it up, I mean, we're moving it. You know, we show up at NYPD. It's on our website in a couple of weeks, and it's in the hands of a new owner another 2 weeks later. So from the time we pick it up, it's in the hands of one of our customers 30 days later. I mean, that's the typical turnaround from the time we get it. And, we got trucks on the road all over the United States every day of the week.
Absolutely. Check it out at PropertyRoom.com. Some fantastic deals and always high-quality merchandise. And maybe you, too, can own a $23,000 gold doubloon. PJ Bellamo, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I'm so sorry for the little mix-up at the beginning of the hour, but I appreciate your patience. And I thank you on behalf of all the times you haven't heard it. Thank you for doing what you do. It's a huge service to the communities that you do serve.
Thanks for chatting with. Enjoy your evening.
Thank you, buddy. You, too. It was PJ Bellamo from PropertyRoom.com. Check it out. It's quite stunning. Coming back to a little bit more music from Joshua Stedman. This is Tangled. When we get back, award-winning actress Dee Freeman joins us. Ha, don't go away.
Someone's in the room next door, not far from us, so don't make a sound. Don't really care, they're just curious with their ears to the ground. they're wasting their time. So close your ears and eyes, we're safe inside, for here we lie and twine.
Person that I know is tangled and twisted is my good friend Dee Freeman joining us now from prettytheseries.com as Rubina Champagne. Dee Freeman taking home the best supporting actress in a comedy this year at the Indie Soap Awards 4th annual. Congratulations.
Thank you. But you know what? I think I knew I would win, and you know why?
Why?
Because I didn't write a speech.
Okay, do it now. Pick up, yes. Rejoining us. Sorry about that. We're having some really horrible weather here with the thunder and the lightning. I'm telling you, it's one glitch after another. But Dee Freeman, I was talking about your acceptance speech in New York. Do you remember it all? Or?
Yeah, I remember parts of it, yeah. I mean, just everything went so fast. Like I said, I was nominated last year, and I wrote out a speech last year. I had, 5 minutes worth of material ready to go, and then they called somebody else's name. So this year I said, well, I'll go and I'll support my friends. We're nominated for some other awards. And sure enough, when they call my name, the first thing I thought, well fuck, I didn't write a speech. So I remember saying something and seeing some fabulous people out in the audience. I remember seeing Anthony from Anacostia and Barry Dodd. And I just said something, got off the stage, and that was it. It was, Yeah.
No, it was a magical night, actually. That was my first time actually attending the event itself.
Right.
Because usually when we do the red carpet, then we're just ushered out because, of course, we don't, we're too poor to pay for the tickets. So, but it was a fantastic, fantastic night, and it was nice to see everybody dressed up. And let's talk a little bit about Pretty the Series. Rubina Champagne is certainly a chip off the old block of sarcasm and stuff.
Yeah.
You must enjoy playing Rubina.
You know, I mean, it's what fun is it not to play a character that Rubina says what a lot of people think. I think there are a lot of times when you're driving down the freeway and somebody cuts you off. You want to cuss them out and call them every goddamn name that you can think of, but, of course, you can't do that. You're at work. Your boss says something to you that you don't like. You want to say, fuck off, but, of course, you can. Rubina is the character that will say exactly what is on her mind. So it's somewhat freeing as a person, you know, to be able to spurt out those words that you don't get the chance to say in your everyday life. I mean, like, I'm a flight attendant, and we both know if I have a bad day, my black ass will end up on YouTube, so I can't say what I want to say. So I kind of use Rubina to get out some of that frustration that I spend the rest of the time just with that big fake smile on my face when I'm on the airline.
Yeah, absolutely. Talk about the language in there, too. Is Steve Silverman writing every bit of your dialogue, or is there a bit of you ad-libbing at times?
You know, I think I get that question a lot. And, you know, first of all, Steve said that he based these characters on our personalities. I don't know what the hell he's talking about. Rubina has nothing to do with me whatsoever. I would have to say, in all honesty, 96 3/4 of that dialogue is actually written by the ever-so-twisted Steve Silverman. Trust me, and that is a reflection on him, that he has written a lot of the stuff that Rubina is saying, and people are thinking, did you just ad-lib? I'm like, no! Steve is putting those words in my mouth, and almost every single character on Pretty the Series is Steve Silverman's, I think, his genius.
Yeah, I would agree fully. His new show, The Inn, is actually coming up on season two.
Fabulous.
Very, very soon, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, you have an all-star cast, and there was Sam Pancake, Stacey McQueen, Ethan, Troy Conrad, who was not in season three. Is that correct?
Troy was in the last episode of season three. He had another project that he was working on that he was touring with, so he wasn't able to be there. But, yeah, he came in the very last episode in season three for Pretty. So, yes, absolutely, yes.
Yeah. I just noticed here I'm on your IMDb page, and I just want to go ahead and let everybody know that you can actually watch D in action on Seinfeld, The Dealership, episode 9/11, on Friday, May 10th at 11 p.m. on CW. Absolutely, come on. Fantastic episode on Seinfeld.
No.
Absolutely. What was it like working with that troupe?
Well, you know what? It went, for one thing, it was about, 13 or so years ago. I mean, when you're on Seinfeld, you feel like you have arrived because they're all seasoned actors. My scenes were with Jason Alexander, who is somebody I absolutely love. I think he's one of our true geniuses of the last 20 or 30 years. And it was pretty quick, to tell you the truth. I mean, I went in, I did what I was supposed to do, and then I went off. I mean, it's not a huge part, but I mean, I gave myself a pat on the back, just the fact that I was on Seinfeld. So, yeah, it was, like I said, they're very seasoned actors. The show was well-written, and I was honored to be on it.
Yeah, a little show that had moderate success.
Yes.
Certainly.
Just a little bit.
Now, let's go a little bit back to your role as Sonya in the Hughleys.
Oh,
come on. You know what? I was watching back episodes of that. That's on the CW, too, and stuff. My girl, you've got a smoking hot body now, but back in the day, my Lord, girls were up and out showing for everybody, and again, a fantastic ensemble cast. Would you agree?
And well, without a doubt. And by the way, you talked about the girls; they're real, okay?
Both of them.
They're the real deal. God damn it! I mean, with the assistance, of course, with the push-up bra. But thank God they're my own. So, yeah. I mean, I actually loved going on the Hughleys because D.L. Hughley. When I first got on the show, I played his secretary, Sonya. They were, you know, still trying to figure out who the character Sonya was, and after a while they began to figure out who I was, and they were writing, as opposed to writing for Sonya, they were actually writing for Dee Freeman. A lot of the stuff that came out of the mouth, or a lot of my responses was the way that I would respond, so that was another character that I also enjoyed playing, because we also had, like, fabulous guest cast. We had, I mean, Billy goddamn mouth-watering Mahogany Williams. I would suck his big toe. He is by far one of the sexiest men I've ever met in my life. We also had Vivica Fox, the very first episode that I did of the Hughleys. No pressure, right?
No,
I get there, and there is a character. I forget the name of the character. And I'm thinking it's going to be some, you know, unnamed hussy going to come out. And fucking Vivica Fox walks up, and I'm like, I have to out-act Vivica fucking Fox. Are you kidding me? So it, she ended up being one of the sweetest people, one of the nicest person. Just what you see on television, just the way she presents, when you see her talk, that's just who she is.
Yeah.
She doesn't present as anything other than who she is. So, yeah, I actually love being on the show because not only did we have people who were so giving as actors, D.L. Hughley, who was, you know, a fabulous comedian, but we had, you know, wonderful guest stars that were coming on there. I mean, I got to meet Marla Gibbs, who was absolutely just one of our better comedic actresses that I can think of. I thought she was hysterical on The Jeffersons. I thought she actually almost stole the show from that cast. So that was one of the joys of going on The Hughleys was the guest cast that you had to work with. And I actually, you know, after a while, if you've done like more than two or three shows, these aren't just, you know, like grips or, you know, or the caterers. They become family. So that was something else that I also enjoyed. You're getting to see people that you know them and you know their family, you know their kids, and, you know, yeah, I had a great time, the time that I spent on the Hughleys. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Back to 1996, Third Rock from the Sun, James Curtin and John Lithgow. I'm telling you, one of my favorite shows, Sally Weaver, what's her name, Kristen, the tall blonde.
Yeah,
What's her name? Anyway,
yeah.
She's fantastic.
Yeah.
That must have been fun to play with those people.
It you know what? It really was. I would have to say, if I had to say one of the nicest 10 people I've met in the last 20 years, John Lithgow would have to be at the top of my list. I did the first episode, and of course I am intimidated because it's John fucking Lithgow, an Academy Award nominee, and I only had, I think, like 4 or 5 lines with him, and I didn't feel like I was being that brilliant. I'm like, I thought he was throwing down, just tearing it up, and he looked at me and said, "Do what's the matter?" I said, "No, I just don't think that was really funny." He's like, I think you're being brilliant. I'm like, I don't think I even got any words out. And he said, "Okay, we'll fix it." He said, "Don't worry about it, we'll fix it." We ended up going to his trailer. And he stayed in there. He said, "Now, I think you're brilliant, but we are not going to leave out of this trailer until you feel like you're brilliant." We were in there for almost 45 minutes. How many other actors for? At that point, I was just, you know, I think I was just a featured actress at that point. I, you know, recurred a couple of episodes after that. But how many other actors would do that for somebody, you know, who's only got 4 or 5 lines? I mean, he took a look at my face and said, "You know what? I'm going to try to help this woman make her feel better." You know what? I can't think of anyone else who would have done what he did. So, yeah, just one of the sweetest, nicest, most gracious, giving actors I have ever met in my entire life. John Lithgow, yeah, he, you know, 2 thumbs up for me. I absolutely love the man.
Yeah, and you can sense the, I mean, number one, I think he's a comic genius as well as
mm-hmm.
Jane Curtin, but
yep.
it takes a true professional to go ahead and realize somebody is not feeling
absolutely.
Up to snuff and kind
absolutely.
Of go ahead and reach back and, you know, pure class, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Is there a lot of difference filming for commercial television versus the web series now?
Well, a little bit more money in commercial television.
Just a little more money in commercial.
Just a little bit more. I would say, I mean, well, the process is the same. You get a character that you're going to play. I approach Rubina the same way that I did for any character, Sonya and the Hughleys, or any of the characters I've played in television. You try to figure out who that person is. You know, you sit down and you read the script and try to, you know, I always start with a blank slate of, okay, who is this person? I always start with myself because, of course, being true and honest to comedy, you have to start with what you've already got to work with. I mean, I can't be Whoopi Goldberg. So I start with myself, and then I start building on the character. I don't really look at it and go, I'm doing something for the web as opposed to I'm doing something for commercial television. I approach them both pretty much the same. I really don't believe there is that much difference, not from the way Steve Silverman, who's worked in this field for a long time, he directs. His process is probably the same as some of the other directors like Jonathan Kaplan or Michael Ritchie, some of the other directors that I've worked for commercially, and also because, you know, Steve Silverman works for Fox, still does a lot of work for Fox. So, no, I don't think there's any difference, not really, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I think the process is the same anyway for me.
But the shooting schedule must be a little bit different, because I know Silverman goes ahead and actually plans a week that he shoots all of his episodes, you know, pretty much maybe out of sequence and stuff, and Nicole comes in to go ahead and edit and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're on something like the Hughleys, are you taping only an episode per day, or?
No. The Hughleys, see, the great thing about doing, in particular, comedies, which I absolutely love, is that we worked from Monday through Friday. You come in on Monday, you've got your script, you have the stage reading, and you might have a reading later on that day, and then you go home, you get there at 10 o'clock, you might go home at 1 o'clock or something like that. On Tuesday, you come in, whatever your time, your call time is. But for the most part, a lot of it is banker's hours. You might go through two or three rehearsals during that day. That afternoon, you have a run-through, and then you go home. On Fridays, we taped two shows. On Friday, you come in. You don't have any rehearsal. You come in. You get your makeup done and all that stuff. They load the audience in, and you shoot two episodes. So that's perhaps the only difference. I mean, working for the Hughleys was that we rehearsed Monday through Thursday, and on Friday we recorded the two shows back-to-back.
Yeah. But you were also with a live studio audience.
Absolutely.
Hughleys. So
yes.
That adds a super dynamic, I would imagine, where you start to feed off the energy of the audience, because you get
like
instant feedback if something's not working. You know, it's almost like Russian roulette.
Absolutely. And plus, not only that, the writers are right there and they can tell what's working. And, you know, before they put it in the can, they can say, oh my God, that joke didn't work. So, and that's what happened when I was working on Seinfeld. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going through the door, and Seinfeld worked very, 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 very quick. And I'm going through the door like, okay, D, you say this, say this. Say this. That's the way they work. They're telling you, instead of saying this, say this. That's the brilliance, I think, of having a live audience. You know instantly what does or doesn't work, so they're changing it, you know, while you're there. So, yeah, that would have to be the difference, perhaps.
Yeah, absolutely. And plus, I think it's just easier to play to a live audience. Because,
absolutely, absolutely.
It's the charm. And I don't think, especially with, even if they're cutting and refilming and stuff, I don't think the audience gets bored, because they're excited to go ahead and see the process themselves.
Yeah.
And I think that's very exciting.
There's nothing better than have a live audience, absolutely. I think it's the reason why so many of us who are in the field, that our first true love was theater. It's that instant gratification that you get when you're on that stage, and you pretty much are getting the same thing when you're taping a show like the Hughleys. It's the same thing, the same love that you're receiving. So, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. You have now, you've done stand-up comedy, you've done television, you've done movies, then you took a small departure and did this stewardess, flight attendant thing. There's got to be a story as to that, because quite frankly, I'm proud to know you, Dee, as a person.
Yeah.
I follow your work. I think you're incredibly talented, but it must get draining. Working in the industry, you know what I mean? Is that the reason for the departure?
No, actually it's not. You know, I worked in television for a lot of years. It's the only thing really that I can honestly say that I know and that I totally understand. And I think if you've been there as long as I have, which is over 10 years, there's a reason for you to still be there. It is absolutely, without a doubt, in my blood, and this I know. But a year and a half ago, my husband and I decided that we had reached the end of our road. It's time for us to get divorced. And the first thing I go is, oh, my God, Jesus. I mean, I don't have a sugar daddy anymore. I've got to get a fucking
job. Mama gonna make some bacon. Damn.
Right, you know, I mean, I'm like, Sunset Boulevard is taking up hold, so you got to find a job. So I looked around, and my friends are like, you know, maybe you could work at Sears. I would rather stab myself in my vagina than ever work. I could not do that job. I couldn't think of anything more that would make me quietly die as a person than to, you know, and those are fabulous jobs for some people out there.
Oh,
it's just not me.
Yeah.
I looked around at all these options that were available to me. One of my friends said, well, you know, you can daycare. You must be out of your goddamn mind. I got two kids, and I, you know, got them out of the house, but there's no way in hell I was going to turn around and do that. And then one of my friends said, have you ever thought about flight attending? And I initially said, no, I don't, what the fuck? Well, I don't want to be a flight attendant. And then the more I thought, I said, wait, flight attendant. You know, they wear these cute little uniforms, and I love the way they do that sign shit. They'd be up in the front, and everybody's looking at them. The look like the job is a part of acting. I mean, hell, I'm used to doing that. So I figured, why not? What the heck have I got to lose? So I sat back, studied the field for about 2 or 3 months, went on the webs, really, you know, got used to what they were looking for. I went out for two airlines, and one of the jackasses said yes. And I'm like, oh, okay, all right, then I guess I'm going to be a flight attendant. And, you know, I discovered that, I mean, here's the deal. It is not brain surgery. The difference is I perhaps run my flights differently than other people. I've looked at some of the flight attendants who've been on some of the flights I've been on, and sometimes I feel like saying, you guys, come on. It really is not all of this shit that you're making it out to be. I feel like sometimes there's a wall between the flight attendants and you, and that's just not who I am as a person. If I get somebody, like I had a guy come on my airplane the other day. He's got on, you know, a Phillies hat. I said, if you want to get your ass on my airplane, you're going to take the Phillies hat off. This is Dodger territory. I'm running this goddamn airplane. Take the Phillies hat off. Now, I said, in fact, I want you to sit in the back. I know you're probably up here towards the front. Go to the back. Sit back there until I tell you, and I don't want you to say one word. I laugh and joke and talk with my passengers. I talk with the kids come on board. I trade notes with the little girls about who's better. Is it Justin Bieber or is it One Direction? Which one do you like the most? Did you bring your homework? You know, that kind of stuff. You're going to buy your mom a Mercedes when you're older. I try to be the kind of flight attendant that I would like to fly with, you know. So, yeah, I love it, but I've decided, Michael, I'm going to do like I've seen some of them. I'm going back to the field because I look and I say, all these years, I have never been someone who lived my life based on the fear of any goddamn thing. I'm taking my colored ass back to L.A., and you know what? I'm going to get two roommates in my house because I can't pull that mortgage by myself. And I know that, well, Warren Buffett, he's in Nebraska. I am now gunning for, I'm going to get Warren Buffett in Nebraska. I'm going to leave the airline probably in a couple of months, and I'm gunning for Warren. That's what I'm going to do.
I think it's a plan that'll work.
I think it'll work, too.
Absolutely.
Right.
Coming back to acting and stuff, I know with Pet Bites.
Right.
Pet Bites, you can find it actually on YouTube, youtube.com/PetBites, P-E-T-B-Y-T-E-Z,
yes.
With your daughter Amber.
Yes.
Now, there's a couple episodes up there running. Pet Bites, give us a bit of the premise here, because it's a departure from something that I would normally be interested in, only because I hate snakes and spiders, and I hate kids anyway. So, I mean, so it's like a double whammy. I have no idea. But At Home with Victoria is proud to announce, too, that we'll be going ahead and helping co-produce that with you and Amber.
My producer!
So, absolutely. Proud to have it. You're going to crack the whip, woman. But tell us exactly about what Pet Bites is.
Okay, you know, I've got this daughter, and... you know,
stunning
years ago,
daughter, by the way.
Well, of course, look at her mother, please.
You know what they say, you always look to the mother to see what the daughter's going to look like.
Right,
doggone
it. Well, I, years ago, did everything I could to get my daughter interested in a Barbie doll. And I remember one day walking in the bedroom and it was a headless Barbie doll. I tried everything I could to get her introduced to the girly things. Mm. And from day one, that child had an interest in animals. When she was about 5 or 6, we wanted to get her a dog. We were living in an apartment, and the manager said, you can't have dogs. And I'm like, well, what the heck can we get? He said, well, you can look at some other options, but you can't have a dog or a cat. And I said, well, what about a reptile? He's like, yeah, that'll work. So we got our daughter, her first iguana, and that started it. But let me tell you what makes it a little bit more complicated. Michael, maybe you can understand this. I don't know. It's called being married to a white man. They cannot say no to animals because we started with one iguana. 2 months later, Amber and Hal walk into the house, and I'm like, what you guys, what's up? What's going on? I could tell from the looks on their faces. And he tells Amber, go into the bedroom. Go on. Just go on. And I'm like, what the hell have you done? What? He let her bring a goddamn tarantula in the house. I said, are you out of your fucking mind?
Yeah.
A tarantula? He's like, it's a Chilean rose hair, and it's just the most interesting. I'm like, are you crazy? And it didn't just stop with the Chilean rose hair. Over the years, we've had water dragons, bearded dragons. We had 2 blue-headed triagamas. We had a Pac-Man frog. We got a bear-eyed cockatoo. We got 3 ball python snakes. It got to the point where there were more animals in our house. And every time I tell them, I don't want any more damn animals in our house, another one would miraculously appear. And here go my daughter and my husband looking at me like, I'm the jackass. I'm the irresponsible one because why can't I understand why this child wants yet another animal? And so I told him, I said, you can't bring any more. So guess what I got for my birthday? A rabbit. And I'm like, of course.
a rabbit that the snake promptly
That's
ate.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You just bought food.
I didn't see that one coming. So what happened was, what I realized with a lot of the animals that we had, there's a lot of misinformation out there, and a lot of information that you frankly have to pay for. I don't think you should have to. And on television, I know what to do if a bear attacks me in the woods. I know how to get away from a tiger. But who the hell is telling me what to do if your damn snake gets lost in your house and mine has done it hundreds of times? That's why I wrote an episode called The Fugitive, because there are things, steps that you can take to do if your snake gets lost in your house, or how to give water to a cricket. I'm like, they're supposed to get water? I didn't know crickets drink. And I was talking to a vet, and I told him, I said, I'm having a problem. I use the little soda caps and fill it with water, and they're still drowning. He said, because that's not how you're supposed to feed crickets, Dean. You're supposed to soak a sponge in water, and they're going to suck the water out of the sponge.
Oh,
so I figure information like that, you shouldn't have a damn veterinarian tell you. But we have got 2,937,000,000 shows on the damn air that's going to tell me what to do if an alligator's in my damn backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Michael, I'm never going to be in a place where there's an alligator. Not a black bear, not a gorilla, none of the shit for all the shows that are on the air. But no one's telling us how to deal with all the exotic pets we have right here in the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
Like my daughter, her tarantula. It molted. What's molting? I didn't know what the hell it was. So that's why I started Pet Bites. They are less than 2 minutes snippets of information of what to do if your ball python snake gets lost in the house, if your tarantula decides to molt, how to give water to a cricket. That's what Pet Bites is. And we try to do it from also a humorous perspective. My daughter brings the information because she knows all of this stuff. And also, we're not experts, so we also have a veterinarian on board too, Dr. Chavez, who's an exotic veterinarian. And I try to bring the humor, because I tell you one thing, some of these people on some of these shows, the information is so dry, I'd rather take a baseball bat and beat myself in the head. I can't deal with it. So I try to do it in a humorous and informative way, and also realizing that people have a short attention span. That's why I'm keeping the snippets to under 2 minutes. So that's what we're working on.
Yeah, no, I think it's the ones I've seen are absolutely pure brilliance. The chemistry between you and Amber is definitely delightful.
No,
I want to go ahead and just mention very quickly, for all these people, I don't want any emails on this, so just go ahead and save it. But I like watching these shows where it's such a tragedy, where the surfer is out surfing, and oh my God, the shark bites the surfer's arm off, and oh, it's such a tragedy. You know what's a tragedy?
Yes.
If a shark was to come into my living room and
that's
bite
right.
my arm off, that's a friggin' tragedy.
Absolutely.
So, you know, quite frankly, yeah, I think that's all a little bit bogus. But,
yeah.
D, we're running out of time. Once again, you can go ahead and check out Pet Bites at the best place to check it out is at YouTube.com.
Absolutely, because, you and I, like I said, we're now in the process of we are revising them, redoing them, the brand new Pet Bites, absolutely, and they'll be coming up soon. So I'm pretty sure you and Victoria will be able to advertise it on one of your shows in the future.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Miss Freeman, from the voice calling from inside the house, I truly enjoy you so much. Love to Amber, love to your son Shane as well.
Thank you, darling.
I'm so happy you're back to acting, honey. You're back in your own element. You've been missed from the industry, and from At Home with Victoria to you, huge love. And continued success.
Thank you.
And I just adore you. I think you're funny as shit.
I adore you too, darling. And I'll see you in 3 minutes. I'll be upstairs in a couple of minutes.
You got it, lovely. Take care.
Bye, baby.
That was Dee Freeman from, check her actually out, prettyseries.com as well. Okay, and I'm with Victoria. I am your entertainment co-host. We're going to close with a little bit of music, more music, actually, from Joshua Stedman. This is called The Gift. Good night, everybody.
I feel the need to save the world, but it seems just too big. What's one drop of change in a sea of need? I want to know the name of the person I have here. The dream as it's becoming real. Sometimes the hand in need reaches out right next to me. I drift to look my way. me prodigy, under pressure to succeed. She breaks down at 23. This is not a random desperation. This is life. This is real. It hits home.
Victoria, an interactive news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Download us on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. I'm Shelly Rand, musician and announcer for At Home with Victoria. Download my CD on iTunes and Amazon and friend me on Facebook.